You see, on that last verse, it was the one we're all so familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's the life that I want to talk about today. That's the love that I want to talk about. That kind of love, the everlasting love. The love that's unlike mine so much of the time. This morning, I'm going to ask that you would turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to take a look at Psalms 139. I'm going to start in verse 1. If you would, stand with me as we give reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse 1 says, O Lord, you searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we want to thank you for this, for your word, God, for your Son, for Jesus, Lord, for what you've done for us, God. God, I thank you so much for the love that you show through your people so often to me. God, I don't deserve it. But God, I know that you have us here for a purpose, Lord, and I know that there are things like what has happened this week that put that into perspective, Lord, that you have us here, that you are in control, that you give and you take away, Lord, and that when if we're here today, if we are breathing today, we have a purpose on this earth, and that purpose is your plan, is to carry out your plan. So God, I pray that you would help us with that this morning. God, that we would just breathe your love in this morning. God, I pray that your presence would be too much to hide from today. That I can't push it away. I can't run away from it. I can't walk away from it. I pray, Lord, for a surrender to take place in this room. A surrender to love. The love that you show us so often. God, I pray for you to take over. Lord, that I would get out of the way. God, that your words would be spoke to your people this morning. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. If you would sit, you can have a seat. In Psalms 8, 3 through 6, it says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? See, a lot of times I find myself having to say, in order for us to learn how to love God, you need to realize how much he loves us. It seems that way. It's like some people have to be convinced of the love. It's not like they know it, and all they have to do is read this word. I mean, it says that no greater love has anyone than a man to lay down his life for his friend, right? We were talking about that this morning in our Sunday school class, about the ultimate sacrifice. And to come to that realization that I have no hope outside of Jesus, that it is all because of him and his love for me that I have an opportunity to spend an eternity in heaven, an opportunity for joy of love. It says that you take thought of him and the Son of Man, that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And I keep thinking that who better than to trust with all of me, with my life, than the one that made me, the one that formed me? Think of a mother's love. Think of a father's love. And how I'll do anything for my child, I'll do anything for my son, for my daughter. I don't have a daughter, but if I did, and he did, God gave his son for our love, for us, because he loved us. So, If we as a church was to have a vision, Brother Lanny, I remember there was a time a couple of years ago that we had that little slogan, that little phrase to cast a vision. We want to cast a vision for our church, and I've heard that that's good. I mean, we need to. Somebody said a church without a vision is dying, in the process of dying. And we have. I think that Brother Laney's done an amazing job at helping our church see the vision that God would have us to see. Wouldn't you agree? How many things have we been a part of over the years that otherwise would not have been? I mean, think of all of the camp experiences that we've had. How many of you guys, just raise your hand if you've been a part of the camp experience in some form or fashion, whether it's been as a worker, that's 98%. Of you guys, and it takes every single one of you, by the way, to do that. it is a great big deal, but it's also a great big blessing. How many of you guys went to a camp as a teenager, like a youth camp? Raise your hand. Y'all remember those experiences? Here's the thing: is when we start talking about a vision, a casting a vision, or even thinking about what the plan is for the church, I know I can't help but feeling that the vision right now is for us to be a church of revival, just to be able to, no holds barred, whatever it is, as crazy, as wild, as messy as it may look, that we want to be a people that want to do what God's called us to do, whatever that takes, wherever that leads us, we want to go. And I think it's always been the plan. But sometimes it takes more of a focus in order to get there. Do you agree, Brother Laney, that sometimes we got to focus in on it in order to get there? And there's a lot of times that we've made these commitments to God that I don't know if I've been to youth camp now, I guess 12 years in a row. I keep going back for some reason. It's some neat things take place there. But I've seen it many times. How many of you have had a teenager, or you are the teenager that went to camp and you came home and you made a commitment, a rededication of your life, or I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Anybody in here ever messed up on that commitment? We've said it. God, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm not going to miss it. And then a week down the road, and it's, how does it happen? That's because we can't make those type of commitments. We can't make those kind of promises to God. That's, we're not supposed to. Because God's the one that's in control. He's the one that can make that kind of promise to us and know it's going to be taken care of. But we're sinful. And so here's... I don't want this service this morning to be about you making a promise to God that you can't keep. Any promise, anything that happens this morning, don't make a promise that you can't keep, because you were never meant to anyway. God is the one that has the promise. He's the one that has the that we're abiding in. And so oftentimes whenever God moves on us and we start needing to make, we want God to work, we want him to change, we want to be a part of the vision that he's called us to be a part of, it's got to start somewhere. And I can't help but think that it has to be in us forgetting about all the things that we're doing for him and just fall in love with him, madly in love with him. As a church, is what we're supposed to do. That we are to be madly in love with him. And just take, I said this to my teenagers in the Sunday school this morning. I said, how often have you come into church tired? And as a youth pastor, I hear it every week in and out. 10, 20 of them out of the 30 or 40 that's here. I'm tired. How are you doing today? I'm tired. How about you? When you came here this morning, when you got here this morning, did you come... excited about what God had for us this morning? Excited, or have you, my question is, if you're always tired when you get to church, then who got your best worship this morning? Who got your best worship this week? Because if you're too tired, if you're wore out and you're not bringing your best to God, then guess what? Something else is getting it. And if God is our first love, he is our first love. He is the one that we're supposed to be surrendered and sold out to and trust and abiding in, then shouldn't he have our best? Whenever we talked about the sacrifices, the atonement for our sins, whenever back in the Old Testament, they went and got the perfect lamb, the perfect cow, the one without spot or blemish. And that's the same way with our praise. Because of what he's done for us, it's far better than that the ball games that we go to the night before. But how often are we chanting and cheering and yelling and screaming and just excited about what's going on in that ball court? But we get in here and we're not very excited people about what God's doing in our lives and in the lives of our family and friends. And so here's what I think what we need to do is just step back and just like when those verses were going, how was God working on you? And was there anything that was he dealing with you about anything? Is God your first love? Or does he take second place to your wife and your children, to your sports, to your work? Do the people at work call you a Jesus freak? Do they say, man, this guy's crazy, because all that comes out of him is this Jesus. I want that for my life. I'm not saying that's what it is, but I want this, because I believe that when as I fall madly in love with God the way that he loves me, or even just having that as an aspiration to continue to grow in that love with him, that you'll see some crazy stuff come out. You'll see out of the overflow of that, you'll see some things that's gonna freak this world out. And I'm excited. I think we're in the process of that. And so over the next few minutes, I just want to ask you, we're gonna bow our heads. And we're just gonna think about some of these things that maybe are keeping us from loving God the way we should. Or maybe we're just not recognizing. And maybe there's a time of just surrender, a time of just kind of having a real personal moment with God. So with if your head's bowed, and Drew, if you want to go ahead and just... As you're praying, I want you to keep these words in mind. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways, my anxieties, my worries. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The idea of having a vision this morning is crazy, because you know what you did last night. You know what's happened in your life this past week, and you know God knows. And how many times have we come before Him and we've made these commitments and then we've let Him, and so we get to that place where we know that God knows I'm a liar. And so we just start backing away. And we start callousing ourselves because of our mistakes. The things that we've done. And God said, "I want to wipe the slate clean this morning. Says that if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. If you love me, you'll follow my ways." How many, maybe this morning, we have this guilt on our heart or something that's keeping us from truly loving Him. And maybe it's a confession that maybe we've been deceiving ourselves and other people with lies that we may have told. And the Bible talks about, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." We know it's so much more than just the physical act. But it's that of, what have I put into my head this week? What have I looked at? What have I desired? Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you just need to ask forgiveness in that. "Thou shalt not commit murder." I didn't kill anybody this week. But don't talk to me about that person. They're the ones that hurt me first. So they deserve what they get. Jesus said, "If you have hate in your heart, you've murdered someone already." Maybe we need to be asking forgiveness because of the way that we, the things that we're holding on to, the anger that we have for certain people. This is what gives you worth. Is that, whether we want to admit it or not, is that really where our heart's desire has been? What about pride this morning? Oh God, forgive me. I need you. God, I need you. Trust in Him.
a love that is exploding out of you. And the Bible talks about having a river of life flowing out of me. And so often I feel like it's a trickle, if anything. That's because I'm tired of doing things on my own. I hope you are. Let's beg for that flood of God's grace and His goodness to come in our lives and to unite His people as the one. The Bible is very clear that He says that the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. And yet in our own church, in our own pews, we have division. I can't help but think that revival takes place to a lost world by the way that they see those of us in the church love one another. I'm failing at that. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. God's people come. Let today be the day that we surrender it all and trust Him. Let today be the day where we quit making excuses or we quit comparing ourselves to the people around us. Let us trust You with all of what we have. God, I know that You love me. You gave Your Son for me. Who else in this world has died for me? Who else has given me an opportunity to have everlasting love, to ever have a promise of heaven? God, You designed me. You know exactly how I'm made up. Why You've made me this way. Why I'm only this tall or I only have this much brain capacity. God, you have an intentional plan for my life. And only in You will I ever find that. Only in You will I ever have true joy. God, I want to be Your man. I want us to be Your people. As this song is ending, and Brother Matt is going to make his way up to the front this morning, and I want us to respond this morning. I'm not trying to make anyone do anything. But I hope that you can learn from what God has given me this week. We are not guaranteed a single day. And what we do with God, we have right now to do that. How we respond to Him, we have right now to give Him all the glory, to give Him all the praise, He knows my heart and He still loves me. Are you kidding me? So this morning, as we finish this worship service, I'd like for us to stand. Brother Laney's going to be up here. For whatever reason you come this morning, whether it's just to come and to say, God, I can't do this alone. I'm tired of making promises that I can't keep. But I just want you to know I love you. You know, oftentimes whenever we give our life to Christ, that's kind of like a marriage proposal. God, I love you. You're my God. I want to spend an eternity with you. I want you to be my Savior. And God says, well, if you love me, you'll be obedient. You'll follow my commandments. And how many times have you been through a service and you know that you haven't even been obedient in this first command, which is follow me in believer's baptism. Make that walk, that commitment to show that you're not ashamed of me. Come. Maybe it's today that you realize I don't have a love relationship with him. I've just been doing stuff to keep myself busy. I've just been trying to work. Just trying to put that facade, that mask, that it looks like a Christian to me. And so, and you want to lay that down. You want to make it right and real today. You come. Brother Laney.
As we stand.